And then, now, I really want what I've got. Because what I've got is so much better. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, I want this, I want this, when God has something better for us. It's like a child, you know? You have something great for the child, and the child is so small-minded, going for something that is so transient and small, when you have something great. Trust your father's heart. Amen? So it's not always God takes something bad away. God can take something good, but if it does, it does, it's because we'll give something best. Amen? All the girls that were with me, all right, were all good girls. Okay? Amen? And they were all best for someone, but not for me. But Wendy is the best for me. Amen? June is the best for you. Amen? Amen, like they're very scared, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are they cool now, brother? So, if the Spirit... Now, listen carefully. When we look at the Old Testament, there are also contrasts, not just type and anti-type. In other words, like we see the bird, dove, and we see in the new, it is a substance, the Holy Spirit. We see, for example, the Passover lamb. All right, the type. We see the antitype, the substance in the new, Christ Jesus himself, right? Sometimes there is a comparison, but sometimes there's opposites. For example, the Holy of Holies was a way of death, in a sense. If you step in, you die. All right? But today, the Holy of Holies is a new and living way because of Jesus' blood. The more you go to the Holy of Holies, the more you pray, the more you spend time in the Holy of Holies, the more you live. Every hour outside the presence of God is an hour in death, actually. All right? So the more you cultivate the presence of God, can you live in the Holy of Holies all day? Yes. God said, God has given us a way to maintain that 24 hours a day, we want. You know why? When you pray in tongues, the Bible says, wherefore, if I pray in an unknown tongue, Paul says, my spirit prays. You pray in English, you pray in Chinese, you pray in Hokkien, for example. All these are good. But when you pray in your understanding, you pray from your mind. And if you pray from your mind, you must know the situation. You cannot pray for your future. You cannot pray for your children's future. So, in a sense, please understand what I'm saying when I say, I'm not saying don't pray in your understanding, but it's limited. It is still holy because we are tripartite, like the temple of God. There's an outer court, there is a holy place, and there is the Holy of Holies, the most holy. Now, anything from the holy place is still very good. But when it comes from the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, ooh. Amen. When you pray in tongues, all right, it is your spirit, Paul says, that prays. My spirit prays. And the Holy Spirit knows the beginning to the end. You see, before you were born and put your mother's womb, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a conference table. And I believe that something akin to this must have happened because every life is designed uniquely. No set of fingerprints are the same, all right? And God has designed everybody unique. So God sat down, and everyone has a life, a beautiful plan of God. And every plan is a successful plan. And only you can fulfill your plan by the grace of God. So they sat down, and they see your whole life, from the day you are born until the day Jesus comes again, all right? You see your whole life. Okay? So they sit down and they discuss your life, and I'm sure that they're smiling and they're so full of love for this seed that's about to be planted into your mother's womb. And God, that's why God, Bible says God knew you before you were born. And God saw everything. And God designed everything. Your life and all that kind of thing. So what happened is that God also discussed among themselves. God says, but we know that man is subject to failure. All right? And he can walk away from the fullness of God's plan. Those who are in the fullness of God's plan never get cursed. Never fall under the tragedies of life. All right? Because God's plan is always good. With all the blessings of God company. But God loved you so much, God knew that man would divert. So God says, is there such a way? Because God also knows God has designed in such a way that God cannot just intervene on earth just like that, because it all happened. That's another message. How man fell. God gave the earth to man, and man gave the earth to Satan, the dominion, and then Jesus came and took it back. But Jesus only gave it to the church, because only the church accepts Jesus Christ, who has authority over all the earth. All right. So in our Christian life, we don't allow what happens to the world to happen to us. All right. Because as far as we are concerned, as far as our earth is concerned, we are redeemed. That's what redeemed means. We are in the world, but not of the world. Okay? So, but what is the thing that activates and causes the power of God to intervene into earth legally? Because one day the whole earth will go back to him. We know that. But meanwhile, it's on Adam's lease. And the lease is running out. 6,000 years have come and gone. We passed the year 2000 already. We're in the beginning hours of year 2000. So the lease is coming to an end. And the devil knows it. Okay? But until the lease comes to a full end, we must pray, God, then God will move mightily in our life. We don't pray, he does not move. How many understand that? John Wesley asked a question. I've observed, he says, it seems like God does not move until we pray. Why this is so, I do not know. All right, but God has given more light and understanding in this past generation. Thanks be to God for men like Kenneth Hagin and all that. All right, we know now why man has to pray. Because when you pray, you activate your covenant. And then God says, I have a right now to move. And the devil has just put his hand back and says, that God has a right. How many understand that? But then, if we pray with our limited understanding, we'll never be able to pray for our future. So God discussed, all right, at the conference table, and God says, all right, God told the Holy Spirit, you will go in them. And the Holy Spirit says, God, Jesus will have to clean them first. And Jesus says, I'm willing to go. I'll clean them up, and I'll send you. And I'll tell them, wait for the promise of the Father. So the Father promised in the Old Testament, he's going to come. The Messiah's going to come. But the Messiah's going to come to clean you up by his blood. So clean that he will send the Holy Spirit to indwell you. Okay? You need the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to live a successful life as a man. What makes you think you can live without? All right? So God says, and the Holy Spirit says, and I know how to resolve that problem about they cannot pray for their future. They cannot pray for things they don't know. They can only pray for, even in the present, you can't even pray for the present. Like for example, right now, your child is in danger, for example. How do you know your child is in danger? Right? You can't even pray for that. If you pray with your understanding, which is limited. So the Holy Spirit says, I'll birth in them a language. They will speak with new tongues. Amen. And then, those who are faithful to allow me, I will not force them to speak. Those who want to speak, I will not force them. Because God, we respect man's free choice. But if they will allow me to talk to them, I will pray according, Romans 8 says like this, and he that searches the hearts, the Holy Spirit. It says like this, likewise the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, with groanings or a language that's not articulate. Alright, that cannot be uttered, that's not articulate. And then he that searcheth the hearts, God who searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit that's making intercession. What is the mind of the Spirit? The mind of the Spirit has all the plans and blueprint of your entire life. And the Holy Spirit is able to bring to God where you are missing it in your life now. And the Holy Spirit will bring up that prayer to God, and God who searches the hearts of man knows what's the mind of the Spirit, all right? For he makes intercession according to the will of God for your life. And then the next verse comes, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So after that prayer reaches God, God will cause everything in your life, red lights light on the traffic or whatever, to bump into someone, and then someone offers you a job, and that's the job you're supposed to be in. Because you are getting out of it, so the Holy Spirit, God bring you back to the plan. Because if you're in that job, you'll die 40 years younger, faster. And then God move you. You know, God, the Holy Spirit knows how to birth the language. God put you back on track. Some of you, you fulfill that destiny. Alright, you're supposed to be doing this when you're 30 years old, but you're doing it when you're 50. Because you never allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, it's better late than never. I really believe that some people are supposed to be doing some things that they do much later. So is it smarter for you to start letting the Holy Spirit have his way? What do I do, Pastor Prince? Pray in the Spirit. When you're cooking, pray in the Spirit. Your food will be much better. Amen. How many are glad you don't have to be intelligent to pray in the Spirit? You only have to allow him. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Joshua 1:8. So today, remove the law and replace it with the Spirit. The Spirit shall not depart from your mouth. How do you do that? Pray in tongues. And you shall haggle, mutter, day and night. So you take MRT, you sit down there and people see you. On your way to work, you're driving. Amen. You have a better drive. You are muttering. Literally, that's why God chose the word haggle. Haggle. To mutter. What's going to happen when you do this day and night? Most people stop. They start day, they don't go to night. They start nighttime, daytime, jam. You ask yourself why, I'll tell you spiritual warfare. That's why the Bible says, when you put on the armor of God, the whole purpose of the armor of God is to keep you persevering for all saints, praying at all times in the Spirit. And the devil knows, he's going to, the moment you start praying in the Spirit, he's going to do everything he can to stop you from praying in the Spirit. So when everything that seems to, sometimes you pray in the Spirit, things don't happen immediately, that's good. Remember, there's a warfare involved. But you persevere and keep on praying the Spirit. I find in my own life, but don't believe for this, every life is unique. I found that last time when I started praying the Spirit, I had funny things happening to me. Funny symptoms in my body. And I felt like, you know, like things like, instead of good things, I feel lousy, I feel bad, and that kind of thing. But deep down, I heard the voice, persevere. The warfare is on. The devil wants you to stop. And then when I prayed through, on the other side, see, one benefit about coming and attend personally compared to buying CDs alone, you get to see what's happening. Those are CDs that, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Hey, man. Now I'm just making some monkey faces, okay? For those who are listening. Do you have to make, Pastor Prince? Okay. What's going to happen when the Spirit does not depart from your mouth, but you are muttering day and night in the Spirit? You will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. You see, people are waiting for God to make their way prosperous. God says, you will make your way prosperous by keeping the Spirit in your mouth. You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Amen. You will have good success. Prosperity and good success. Prosperity and good success. Say it. Prosperity and good success. Say it again. Amen. And then what God promised, or God... You see, another thing you must learn about Old Testament, Old Covenant, and New Covenant style of God is this. Old Covenant, God demands. New Covenant, God provides. Old Covenant, God demands righteousness. You shall not, you shall not. New Covenant, God give the gift of righteousness. So, in other words, under the Old Covenant, man is bound to be a giver and a worker. Whereas, under the New Covenant, because God is giving and providing, man is bound to be a receiver and a grateful one. Amen? Amen. God commanded Joshua to be strong and very courageous. But here, if you keep the Spirit in your mouth, God empowers you. He edifies you. When you pray in the Spirit, He provides it for you. So if you are nervous, you are a nervous type, all right? And I'm telling you, yesterday, Deacon Chin and myself were talking about Sydney. Is Sydney here today? You know, Sydney used to be, he's not here, usually he sits around here. If he's not here, he'll be here tomorrow. He's one of our care leaders now. Now, when he first came to our church, he was on medication, he was on tranquilizers, because he was suffering from panic and anxiety attacks. To such an extent, some of the well, Pastor Prince, all of us have, to such an extent, he cannot even go out of the house. And he was hooked on that medication. Okay, cut a long story, he had sinuses, he had all kinds of physical problems, and financially he was suffering because of his condition. One thing leads to another. Cut a long story short, some time ago I was preaching on speaking in tongues, and he began to speak in tongues. He said the very moment he speaks in tongues, he felt like a peace break through all the anxiety and the fears and that kind of thing. And he never stopped since. And today when you look at Sydney, I think it's better that he's not here tonight. Because he might just be embarrassed. You look at Sydney, we're just remarking about how he's such a calm person. When Sydney talks, he's always smiling. And he talks very calmly. That's right, Pastor Prince. I found out that, and Pastor Prince intervened. And you keep quiet, listen. Yes, yes. And also, you know, it's the kind of person. I don't know if I portray right. I think I look more like Jerry Lewis, but he's a very calm person. When you are with him, you know, he's such a calm person. And to think that he was on tranquilizers, had panic attacks, and now everything, and you know, he's being hooked. He's no more hooked to this medication. His sinus problem is a thing of the past. His business is prospering. And all began by a little, it was hard for him, he says, but a little rivulet of praying in the Spirit. He let it go. And the little rivulet became a stream. And the stream pushed away more blockage and rocks and hindrances and became a river. And now your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And you know what? There comes a time, I don't care how strong you are, you can stand before a rivulet. You cannot stand before rivers like a Niagara Falls. Amen. You push everything out. And whoever comes across your way will be touched by the ministry and the life that's coming out of you. No one, the devil want to stop us. You know, you see, in church, in the church world today, I think you all know this. The biggest two doctrines, I don't like to call it grace doctrine, but because of the sake of argument, the biggest two doctrines is that's been attacked is grace. Every time you hear grace preached, oh, you must be careful, you know. Another one is tongues. Tongues. Even Christians come against tongues. There are Christians who write books against tongues. They are more against tongues than they are against evangelism. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because you know what? Stop the tongues, you stop the power for evangelism. So the devil is not attacking evangelism. He's coming against tongues. And even those in the charismatic circle don't really know the benefit of speaking in tongues. I think many of them take it as a badge, you know? I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the time. You know, they only do like that when they are in the service. And that was the problem that Paul was writing. Paul was writing to them because they were trying to show off their tongues to one another during the service. At home, they don't talk. Come to church, they... Whereas Paul, then Paul says this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he thanked God for it. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. To the Corinthian bunch. Then Paul says, Paul is the opposite. Yet in the church, I rather speak 5 words with my understanding so that I can teach others also. Now the word also tells you that Paul was taught while he's praying in tongues by the Holy Spirit. So that with his understanding, he can teach others also. So the problem with Corinthian church was that they're not praying in secret in their daily life. They come to church to impress. That's the only time they talk. Paul prays a lot. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's a lot. And that bunch was the Corinthian bunch. So he prays a lot in secret. When he comes to church, he speaks 5 words and there's power. And there's life. That with my voice, I might teach others also. Also means the way the Holy Spirit teaches him is while he's praying in tongues. And the way he teaches others is by speaking with understanding. So they can teach others also. You got it, church? Now, I'm bringing this to a close, but let's do it. 1 Corinthians 14. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, actually, it's an order. If you speak in tongues a lot, you'll be able to prophesy. All right, like what I'm doing right now, preaching has an element of prophecy. When I'm standing down here and I'm edifying the whole church with my teaching and preaching. You see that? Now, if I go like this, porabakita la musika rabashata, malama kola basika rabasanta la batoporama, mukala mantala bakika. Right? You won't understand, eh? Miane, sorry. All right. Now, if I tell you right now, if I'm preaching to you in English, you can understand. You can laugh. Amen. If not, I laugh myself. You know, I won't edify anybody. But you know what? You must edify yourself before you can edify others. You must be strong before you can lift up the weak. You must be rich to help the poor. The poor cannot help the poor. Alright? You must be healthy to help those who are sick. To go to the old folks' home and help them, whatever. How can you, if you yourself is on the bed? Amen? So, we all know that. So, to edify the church, you must edify yourself. But one of the things about the word edify is that it was never brought to me, you know. The benefit, Luis. No one ever told me what edify means. The most I heard was, it charges your spirit like a battery. The word edifying charges your spirit like a battery. Now, it's true, it charges your spirit. It does charge your spirit like a battery. Okay? Many of you use these kind of equipments nowadays. Everything needs a charge. But the word edify, literally in the Greek, he who speaks in an unknown tongue or speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edify is oikodomio. Oikodomio. Oiko means house. Domio. Listen, Thayer's definition, the Greek. Oikodomio means edify. Oiko means house. Domo or domio means build. Listen, build the house. Oikodomio means house building. Not only build, listen, repair. To build the house or repair the house. And you know, God gives a lot of credence and weight to the Bible recording about his house being built. Even the story of Solomon and all that. All these are pictures of how concerned are you to build God's house, which you are today. And not only that, you know, the Bible... And the thing that really got me was this. People say that when you speak in tongues, you edify your inner man, your spirit man. Until it was not too long ago, about 3 years ago, or in fact 2 years ago, the Lord told me to read for myself, and I read for myself. It says, doesn't say you edify your inner man. Doesn't say edify your spirit alone. You edify, he edifies himself. Then I began to think, hey, wait a minute. If the word edify means house building, house repairing, does that mean my physical body as well? Because my physical body is called the temple of God. Doesn't say, no, you're not your spirits. Doesn't say that. No, you're not your bodies are the temple of God. Amen? So does it have a physical benefit as well? So that began a search. And I always knew that it has a physical benefit. I knew it intuitively. How many of you know that there are things you know intuitively that was confirmed later on by preaching or you read the Bible? It's, there it is. You know what's a sign of good preaching and teaching? It confirms what God is speaking to you in your heart. I knew it. He was telling me, pray more. But I knew it. Tonight is like, you know, clarity has come to that. What is that inside? You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking, like John says, I have written to you not because you know not the truth, but because you know it. I used to read that, I was puzzled. I have not written to you because you do not know, but because you know. Then why write? But you have an unction from the Holy One and you have anointing within you. In other words, I write to confirm, because many of us need confirmation. For example, we are thinking about changing our career. You know, changing our career. We feel like changing our career. Then somebody comes, you know, from not knowing what you're thinking about or what you discuss with your wife and say, have you considered about changing your career? That is a confirmation. Amen? Amen, brother? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you say amen already, yeah, in public. Amen, praise the Lord. I got a new star for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Then one day, after I knew it intuitively, I told God, and you know, even in Jude, he says, but you beloved, building up. Now the word building again is oikodomio. House building, house repairing. Build yourselves up. Doesn't say spirit. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this a prayer in the Holy Spirit called building yourself on your most holy? So there's faith, holy faith versus most holy faith. How many want holy faith? How many want most holy faith? Huh? How many want, let's say you're getting married next year and you got a choice, all right? A good singer or the best singer? Or the wedding singer? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to
make me cry?
You all saw that movie, The Wedding Singer? It is so funny, hilarious, I tell you. Anyway, reminds me of some of you. The word build yourself is the entire person. You know, I think we rob ourselves when we allow men to interpret and throw things out for us without meaning so. I think there are a lot of well-meaning people. When you edify your spirit man. They say that. You know? And you don't expect your body to be edified. So faith is required as well. I mean, you must believe that as you're praying, to keep you praying, you must know that it's having benefits on your body. So the Lord spoke to me, and I've been believing this, I've been practicing this, and then one day, the Lord brought me to in touch with this discovery from a Christian psychiatrist you know, an MD. And don't forget, these MDs, these psychiatrists and all that, they have access to machines that can monitor your brain and your brain waves and things like that. So he has all these machines. And he happened to be spirit-filled. All right? And he was working for Oral Roberts University at one time. I think he's no longer working there, working on his own. But this psychiatrist is also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happened is that he made a study. He put all the, what do you call that? The modes, yeah, electrodes and things like that to your head. Amen? And then let the person speak in tongues for a while. Now I'm going to read to you right now his own words. Okay? These are the man's own words. Now he's testing on two things. Praying in the spirit and joyful laughter. Okay? Now, you know that laughter is of God. Amen? Look up here. You all know God has a sense of humor. Amen? Now look at your neighbor. For sure you know God has a sense of humor. Amen? Now look into the mirror. Without a shadow of a doubt, God has a sense of humor. Amen? And the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. So, there was a time that churches don't laugh a lot. And I was told when I was a young preacher, one pastor came to me and says, you know, you'll be more anointed if you laugh lesser and joke lesser. So I tried. And then finally I felt like David putting on Saul's armor. By the way, that pastor fell into sin, lost his ministry, and later on I was able to play some part in restoring him. I'm telling you, a family that laughs together stays together. You will go for the long haul if you are able to look at everything in the ministry and be able to laugh. You know, if everything becomes like a life and death thing, you know, you're... Amen? The Bible says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Why is it when people are demon-possessed, all right, you don't find them laughing, you find them always... You know? I've met so many of them. You know, you see them in church and they always come frowning. They may not be demon-possessed, but demon-oppressed. Always, many lines. When people are free, they laugh. When they are free, they laugh. And I prove to you, God really, and our church has been laughing ever since. We're established. So I forgot about all that. I say, I cannot wear another person's armor. I must be myself. Anointed self. Amen? Anointed humor. And my humor got purpose one. It set people free by the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. But you know what? This is how God thinks. At one time, a few years ago. You all still remember? I think it was the 90s. God looked at the church and the church so glum, depressed, so quiet. God sent a new revival. And it hit the whole world, this revival. Imagine, God has to send a revival called Holy Laughter Revival. That's how sick the church became. That God has to send. The church has become so depressed that God has to send a revival called Learn to Laugh Revival. Fail! Fail! And God used a very comical guy, you know? Fail! Fail! Remember? Brother Rodney Howard Brown. Such a precious brother. Amen? So cute. You see him walking around. And I was thinking to myself, I mean, the church is so, it's so sad. The church is so sad that God has to send a revival called Holy Laughter. And people laugh on the floor, you know, and they're healed. Things are happening. Then people wonder, how come we don't get into this Holy Laughter revival? We've been having it. And you know what happened to that movement as well? People were trying to make a law. Laugh, laugh. You know, it came to the point, and it killed the revival. It came to the point, ministers expect you to laugh. You know? Everything that, you know, if you don't have the gospel, whatever gifts God gives, listen carefully. You don't have the gospel. You don't understand the gospel. You don't understand how you are righteous by the gift of God. You don't understand the finished work of Jesus. Whatever God gives you, you touch with legalism. Everything you touch with legalism. Amen? Now, this is a wonderful laughter revival. All right? Let's make it every service where people must laugh. All right? You don't laugh, you're backslidden. Amen? Amen or not? And I think to myself, it's sad because when the foundation is not right, whatever is built, even though it's wonderful things being built, will all fall. Yeah, right. The foundation is the gospel. And the gospel is the gospel of grace. Amen. Can I have a good amen? You see, I was taught praying in the Spirit. But the foundation of praying in the Spirit was placed, that pillar was placed on a shaky foundation. And it fell. And I stopped praying. If only someone told me, every time you feel condemned by the devil, just prove to the devil how clean you are by Jesus' blood, that the Holy Spirit can come inside you and dwell you inside you. Do like that. Still there, devil? He's still there. And the devil will leave you alone. You understand? Huh? The devil hates. No one ever told me that the reason you can pray in tongues shows the righteous, you are the righteousness of God. Because that's the reason why Old Testament saints, even David, cannot pray in tongues. Man of the God's heart cannot pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit came on him as a prophet and it left. But he has come and indwells all of us. Amen, church. Oh, I haven't read yet. Talked so much, I haven't read. Okay, this is his own words. All right, a study based on praying the Spirit with all the electrodes and all that put in. Now, how many know that we don't have to have all these proofs? We know. All right, the Bible says, edify, God's word is truth. Son of the devil will come to you after you pray for a season in spirit, he'll come to you and say, do you feel edified? Don't fall for that trick. Sometimes what you get is this. People are like, Pastor Prince, you feel any different? Yes. Dry mouth, dry tongue, dry throat. Amen? If I answer in the natural, but I tell you this, the power comes. All right? Don't look into area of feelings. Just believe God's word. God's word says, if a man speaks in the tongue, he edifies himself, he oikodomo himself, he builds his house, he repairs his house, it is so. Whether you're feeling or not. Okay? Alright, but nonetheless, such things are very good. Here I am talking again. Alright, let me read to you. Alright, this is what he says. I have had a number, this MD, Carl Peterson, if you want his name. Carl Peterson, MD. Alright? And he says this, I have had a number of inquiries concerning the efficacy of praying in the Spirit. Glossolalia, that's what they call it, praying in the Spirit. Concerning the efficacy of praying in the Spirit and its benefit to the human immune system. That is, immunity enhanced by chemicals released from a part of the brain. I'm attempting to clarify some information I have shared with a number of ministers. This is information that may be deduced from what we know about the way the brain functions. We do know the part of the brain affected most noticeably by extended prayer. Prayer is always praying in tongues. This is study. The part of the brain affected most noticeably by extended prayer and laughter represents a significant portion of the brain and its metabolic activity. Therefore, voluntary speech during extended, not just praying in tongues for a while in church, extended vocal prayer causes a major stimulation in these parts of the brain, mainly the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus has direct regulation of four major systems of the body, mainly the pituitary gland and all target endocrine glands, the total immune system, the entire autonomic system, and the production of brain hormones called endorphins and enkephalons, which are chemicals the body produces and are 100 to 200 times more powerful than morphine. When you pray, extended praying in the Spirit, not just praying, extended time, you're talking about extended time, you stimulate that part of your brain that releases all this. In summary, a very significant percentage of the central nervous system is directly and indirectly activated in the process of extended verbal and musical prayer over a period of time. No wonder the Bible says, speak to yourself in Psalms. Uramamala mushika. Amen? This results in a significant release of brain hormones, which in turn increases the body's general immunity. It is further enhanced through joyful laughter with increased respirations and oxygen intake to the brain, diaphragm and other muscles. So when you laugh, you take more oxygen. Amen? I should charge you all, no? Making you healthy, amen? This same phenomenon is seen in physical activity in general, for example, running. We know from the Word of God that there is a true joy that builds and sustains. Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is joy in the presence of Jehovah. We as believers, having entered into the wonderful presence of our Lord, know this to be true. What we must continue is to remember the joy of the Lord spoken of in the Word is so much more than any manifestation. We can truly have that unspeakable joy in the face of any trials we may encounter, if our joy is grounded in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope the above information helps to clarify the report you received regarding my statement in the area of the physical effects of speaking in tongues and joyful laughter for extended periods of time. Truly, we all benefit, body, soul, and spirit, from obedience and yielding to the Spirit of God in every area of our life. Carl Peterson, MD. Praise the Lord. Amen. You boost your immune system when you pray in the Spirit. You know, think about it. God will always give you a gift. All right? And He will not always tell you the benefits. He will see your faithfulness. You know, why this is so? I think God is a... Because it's, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, when God told Abraham to leave his relatives and all that, not his wife. His wife came along. Leave his father's house and go to a land that I will show you. God could have said, leave everything and go to Canaan. Land of Canaan, right? God didn't. In fact, to say Canaan is shorter than unto a land that I will show you. Why did God do that? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Then it becomes a light to my path. God guides you one step at a time. Like, for example, He has a big reward at the end, you know, big blessing waiting, you know, and you never even trust. When He tells you to take one step, you don't trust His Father's heart for you. And many people don't even reach that reward or blessing. Amen. God told Prophet Samuel, and God speaks, it's like that, His style. You know, He told Prophet Samuel in the Old Testament, because God rejected King Saul, and God is choosing now a new king. We know it's David. We all know it's David. All right? But when God told Prophet Samuel, arise! How long will you mourn for Saul? Arise, fill your horn with oil, and go to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And go to the house of Jesse. Now listen carefully. Jesse's name is mentioned. For I have provided me a son among his sons. Now, God could have said, go to Jesse's house, for I've chosen David, his son. But God didn't. That's why good old Samuel went on there and said, now what? You got sons or not? Of course, got sons lah, you know? Forgot to say that. So he bring all the sons and what? The first one he met, this must be the one, right not? That's why he was mistaken. Because God didn't tell him. And they all had to pass in front of him one by one. Then, you know when the Lord says, this is not the one, this is not the one, God could have told him the name straight away. But it's not his style. Do you understand? He wants you to trust him one step at a time. Because it's like full-time ministry. If I lay out for you everything that you will get from Alpha to Omega, from Aleph to Taf, everything, all right? You know what? You're coming in because of all the perks and all that kind of thing. You will never come in by faith. You'll never come in by faith. When I went full-time, amen, I had to let go of a lucrative salary. And my salary was among the top 10 at that time. And I was in place for a top position. And I was very glad where I was. I was getting paid from more than one place. And with both bosses knowing it. Very legal. And you know what? The offer came to go in full time. And when I came in full time, our church was very small. I didn't come in as senior pastor. Amen. Small church. You look down there, you look behind. Wow. It's like, you know, here it looks like the Canaan land is behind me. It looks like that. But finally, I trusted God. In fact, I gave up my dream to go and study in Rhema Bible School. That was my dream, actually. Like God told me to go and work. And then, but you know what? I trusted God. I trusted his heart. He never showed me, you see this building in the spirit. What, this disco? No, it's only the entrance. It's called The Rock. The what? The Rock. What kind of... Okay, anyway. Then he brought me in. Then he shows me all the... This is your bookstore. Wow, bookstore so big. We used to meet all of us in one place in a HDB flat, smaller than the bookstore. And he brings me all the way. Okay, you see this floor here? Yes, this is not the floor. This is level 6 overflow room. Then he bring me down. I say, what's all these people lining up for? They're lining up here to listen to you.
Me, I stammer, I stutter, I fall.
That's why God says, cannot show him. You see the wisdom about God? Amen. What I'm trying to say is God's plans for you is bigger than your plans for yourself. God's dreams for you is greater than your dreams for yourself. Amen. You gotta just trust his Father's heart. When God tells you to do something, do it. When God says forgive someone, forgive that relative, forgive. Well, how can I forgive? You'll kill yourself. And no one else will suffer because of you will suffer. Trust God. God has your best interest at heart. Amen. He will take care of you. He will take care of your future. God has never shortchanged me. Amen. During the time of a crisis, I got a good counsel, no problem, and I took a major pay cut. And that was before our government took a pay cut. I did it first, thank God, hallelujah. Amen. And right, Matthew, altogether I took 2 pay cuts in my career as a pastor. Not because the board demand, pastor, pay cut. No, I cut myself. And people cannot believe I do that kind of thing. I would do that kind of thing. Amen. Because for me, with all due respect, the church is not my source. God is. Take me, throw me out somewhere in the wilderness, and if the anointing of God is on me, the people will come back. Amen. It's not the church. It is the Lord. My connection with Him is more important than my connection with you. That's why I told my leaders, now, I cannot get administrative. Because this connection is more important that makes everything happen. The moment I turn around from there and get administrative, and spend time with every department and spend 13 hours every day and kind of thing, you know what's going to happen? All right, I'm cut off from here. And I will have a form of godliness, but no power. Amen, church? Trust the Lord. Amen? You can trust Him. Hallelujah. If God says this is the church for you, amen? Don't look around and say, well, you know what, I think I don't like the look of this church. Too cold, too loud, too not. Amen? Praise the Lord. Or another church, God says this is a place for you, and it looks run down. Trust God. Stay there. Amen. Praise the Lord. One step at a time. And every step will be good. Alright? Because God's plan is bigger. And He was exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Amen, church. At the end, when you're in heaven, alright, the Bible says there are some initial tears, right? Correct? People will cry. Because the Bible says God shall wipe away all tears in heaven. People say there are no tears in heaven, but there is initial tears. Because the Bible says God shall wipe away all their tears from all the believers' eyes. Why do you think they cried? Well, perhaps some loved ones didn't make it. Well, yeah, I would think so. But I think most of all we will see how good God is. And we'll see what a great plan He has for us. And how little we trust Him. How little we obey Him. Because we can't see the end. So He says, show me everything, then I'll follow. And it's not His style. He cannot do that. Because He rewards faith. He does not reward sight. Can I have a good amen, church? Oh, I got some more to share, no? But time is up. Amen? Praise the Lord. And something good about the things of God is that you can talk all night long. Amen? I used to go to church. After for one day, wow. You know? But I'm telling you, this is life. Amen, amen, church. How many are praying in the Spirit more? Amen. The Spirit will not depart from your mouth. Amen. Isaiah 59 says, the Spirit that's upon you, this is my covenant. The Spirit, in fact, I might as well show you this. God put on His armor. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. God put on helmet of salvation on His own head. And then at the end of this chapter, it says, go down please. As for me, look at the last line, piece of time. As for me, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I've put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Can you see that? My spirit is on you, and my words on your in your mouth will not depart. Now, the reason I show you this in the passage, you know why? Because the Apostle Paul took this passage and taught the armor of God. And do you notice? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. But in Ephesians 6, it says, after the sword of the Spirit, it says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Can you see that? And we read just now, my words, my spirit will not depart out of your mouth. My spirit is on you, my words will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, your children. First, it's in your mouth, constantly speak in the Spirit, and it will be in the mouth of your children. And upon their children.